Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 13 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bahman. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Marana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you, Marana?
Alhamdulillah. And how are you feeling this morning, Marana?
Alhamdulillah.
Well, we were discussing last week, we started again with the commentary of Surah Al-Kahf. We mentioned that we finished the first 49 ayat, and yesterday we were discussing the 50th ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah mentions, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أُولِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. Allah mentions, remember the time when we told the angels that prostrate before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they all prostrated except for Iblis. He was from the jinnat and he disobeyed the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O mankind, do you take him and his progeny, that is Iblis and shaitans, as friends besides me? So, we mentioned that Allah mentioned in the first two ayats of the surah the test of wealth and the test of materialism. Thereafter Allah shows us the start of mankind. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. And Allah discusses this ayat seven times, the story of creation throughout the Quran. But all seven places teaches us different aspects. We mentioned in Surah Al-Isra, the shaitan says, should I make sajda to someone made out of clay? And in this surah, Allah mentions the composition of shaitan. So whenever Allah addressed the Jewish, they were always criticized about the arrogance and pride. Compared to the Christians, when Allah discusses about them, they are criticized because of their knowledge, never about the arrogance and pride. Christians believe that Iblis is a fallen angel, so their aqida is not correct. And Allah says, make sajda for the sake of Adam. It's not make sajda to Adam. All the angels prostrated except Iblis. And Iblis, if we look at, we did about last week about the word Iblis, Ablisa, and also about jinn. And then we also did the word about fisk, or the composition of the word fisk. And I think, Marana, we stopped there. We need to start from the same ayat, from أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ.
Yes. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. You have correctly mentioned, Marana, about what we were discussing previously. Inshallah, I just want to have a small recap, and then we'll continue, inshallah.
Sure.
Last week, alhamdulillah, we had been discussing something about the word jinn, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about shaitan, kana min al-jinn. Iblis refuses to make sajda, and he used to be from the jinn. This became difficult for many of the scholars and mufassirin, and they argued and bought into the fallen angel theory that has been promoted by the Christian faith. Now, let's look at the word jinn. It's derived from the word junnah in Arabic, which means a shield, anything that protects you from any outside attack. Now, the word Jannah comes from the same origin, the garden in heaven. It is called Jannah because all of the earth, the ground, is covered by something which is beautiful, something that is green, the shrubbery, and etc. So, similarly, we find the word Janin. The womb of a mother is also called jinin in Arabic because a baby is hiding inside to overshadow or conceal. So jinn are called jinn, the literal meaning of the word from which it is derived, because they are unseen and hidden from the eyes. Now the contrast of jinn would be ins, insan, which comes from the verb anasa, which means to perceive. The one that is visible is ins, and the invisible is jinn. Now there is a dual meaning that is captured in this ayah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, kana min al-jinn. In other words, he used to be from the jinn. That means the species of jinn, that's the one literal meaning that we can have in here. Also, it could mean that he used to be from the ones that concealed themselves. That is, concealed his inner arrogance. And all this time, so he had his arrogance hidden. And this is where we had concluded our discussion last week. And we continue from here, and further, go on to the other aspect of this ayah, where Allah says, "Kana min al-jinn," and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, gives us more detail. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He violated the commandment of his messenger. He violated the commandment of his master. He violated, disobeyed the commandment of his Rabb. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes mention about the word fisq, the word fasaqa, the word fisq, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayah. And he makes mention that we, the Arab community that lived at that time, never heard this word fasiq previously. The first time that we hear this word is when we recited and learned the Quran. It is used to describe a person only until after the Quran came down. Before the Quran was revealed, the word fisq and fasiq was never used. This is the opinion of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this word had never been used to describe people before. Now, fasiq usually is translated as a corrupt person. We're talking of fasiq because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَفَسَقَ فَسَقْ fisq. But in Arabic, actually, fasiq is translated as a corrupt person. However, in Arabic, it actually means of something good or bad to come out of the shell. Now, if something is concealed, and if it comes out of its shell, then either it's good or bad. And that's what the word is generally used for, to come out of the barrier, to come out of a limit that was set. And one of the words in the Arabic language, for example, for a rat, a mice, is fuwaisaqa, which is the diminutive, which is the small form. So it means the little one that comes out. The literal translation of the word that describes a rat, fuwaisaqa, would be the little one that comes out. Because a rat, a mice, always comes out of the hole and causes, you know, a mess. So the imagery in the words in the Quran gives us a lot of insight about what Allah means about corrupt or bad people. Now, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying through the use of this word is that you and I, as human beings, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us with our fitrah. Our fitrah is that natural indisposition with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, with which we are able to incline towards good and virtue. Now, this fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with, one could imagine that this is actually the shell that gives us protection. But the minute we come out of the shell, because this shell has placed certain limits on us, and the minute we come out of the shell and we go beyond the limits that Allah has placed for us, that is the time when we start performing and doing acts of evil, acts of bad things, and go beyond the limits, and therefore we are called a fasiq, or we've performed an act of fisq, because we came out of the shell of our fitrah, we came out of the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. So, and inside that shell of fitrah, or the protective moral layer of goodness that Allah has given us, there are desires, there are temptations, there are appetites, and there are things that we seek. So the desires in and of themselves are hidden, and the shell keeps them in place, and our shell is the fitrah with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. But then there are some people who let loose those desires. They let loose those desires out and don't restrain them. But when you take them out of the shell, they become corrupt. And when they go beyond the limits that Allah has placed, we go bad. So the idea of someone concealing something, so long as it was concealed, it was something good. But you let it out and it goes bad. So we have desires inside us. Confidence is a good thing, but pride is a bad thing. But where do you draw the line? For example, humility is a good thing. However, cowardice is something that's bad. Now, where do you draw the line? It is our deen, and it is the fitrah that tries to keep these evil things contained and bottled and gives us a healthy outlet. However, a fasiq lets these evil desires, he lets it out. So basically what is being described with this word is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather, shaitan kept something concealed, but he let it out and violated the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word fafasaqa. So he concealed his desires, were all concealed. But when Allah had given him the instruction and the command to prostrate and make sajda before Adam, alayhimus salatu was salam, and he violated that command, he let out the desires of ego and pride and arrogance that were in him. Allah described that act of his as fisq. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. أَمْرِ رَبِّي was, why was the word Rabb used here? There are two things to note. The use of the word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the ayah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا, when we in the beginning is always followed by a singular use of it. So Allah reminds us that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the only one. The word Rabbihi is mudaf, mudaf ilayh. This is an Arabic law of grammar. So the master of Iblis, the Rabb of Iblis, a Rabb is in a position to give commands. And the command originally is to all of the angels to make sajda to Adam, alayhimus salatu was salam. But he, Iblis, was given a special rank, even though he isn't from them, because he was from the jinn, as Allah said. But he was counted among those that were given the command. And that is captured in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his Rabb. Therefore Allah says, فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Because Allah was his Rabb, and Allah had the authority to give him the command, and gave him the rank within the angels, and gave him also the command to prostrate before Allah, before Adam, and make sajda before Adam. But he came out of that protective moral layer that Allah had placed around him, and he fell towards his desires of ego. Therefore he became a fasiq. So because Allah is his Rabb, then the command applied to Iblis as well. Let's understand something here on the concept of leadership. When an instruction in the deen is given, the one speaking and gives the instruction feels that this instruction is appropriate for the flock. But they consciously or subconsciously exclude themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now goes on further and he addresses general mankind. He addresses you and I. And especially in the time that we are living in, and this whole fitna and of secularism, of irreligiousness, and the fitna and the ideology of Dajjal, of materialism and all of that, that we are becoming prone to and falling prey to, as a result of us losing our direction and our obedience to Allah and finding support and being diverted by a force other than Allah and virtue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us and says, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. Allah says, are you still then taking him? The Christians were the original audience in the surah, if you recall. As opposed to the Jews that are very particular of the laws of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and have an exhaustive library of rules and regulations. Christians, for the most part, consider the blood of Jesus washes them of the necessity to obey Allah's law. The purpose of Allah's law wants to cleanse people, but since the blood of Isa alayhi salatu was salam was shed for them according to their belief, it made it completely okay for them to violate Allah's commands. And they saw obedience to Allah as a punishment. And they saw obedience to Allah as a curse that was lifted with the flow of the blood of Isa alayhi salatu was salam in accordance to their belief. So they abandoned the Injil, they abandoned the book of Isa alayhi salatu was salam that Isa alayhi salatu was salam himself came with. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to confirm what was in the Torah and did not come to do away with what was in the Torah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing primarily the Christians, but in a way also addressing the rest. Are you still going to take Shaitan and his offspring as protective friends besides me? Now, there is a discussion about who Iblis's children are. Because in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said something about the children of Iblis. We had made mention last week that in the ayah or the various ayah that describes the creation of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, there are approximately 7 different places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the issue of the creation of Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan and Iblis's refusal to make sajda. However, at every occasion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses these are addressed at every occasion with a slight difference at each occasion. Now the difference on this occasion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth 2 aspects. The first he says, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ, that Shaitan was from the jinn. And the second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings here is that are you going to listen and take him as his support, him, Iblis, and his children? Now the aspect of the children of Iblis is the second different thing that Allah brings about here, where he establishes that Shaitan, Iblis, has children. So are you still going to take him and his offspring as protective friends besides me? Now there is a discussion about who Iblis's children are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and confirms that he has offspring. So we can take this literally, that they, the shayateen, have kids, and their kids have kids. But this opens up so many questions and gets their attention, and the Quran does allude to the fact that there are the good jinn that have their own spouses in Jannah. So the fact has been established that they do marry, they do have children, meaning the jinn, and it's a accepted principle of Islam. However, the word dhurriya in the Arabic language also refers to those that carry his memories and those that carry his objectives, those that carry forth his traditions, those that carry forth his values, his minions, basically, and may not necessarily mean his actual physical progeny. So what we are concluding from the word dhurriya is that dhurriya, the Arabic word which Allah has used for the children and the progeny of Iblis and Shaitan, is one is the literal meaning which confirms that he does have literal children, that he does have his own progeny. And these are as a result of him having his own spouses, and as has been established in the Quran Kareem with regards to Jannah, that the shayateen, the jinn rather, would, the good jinn, would have the spouses and they would have the children. But it also refers to another meaning of the word dhurriya. Dhurriya means anyone that would follow through and would propagate the message and the value of Iblis. One that would carry his memories, one that would carry forth his traditions, one that would have his values, basically not necessarily meaning his actual physical progeny. Now this ayah is asking, are you going to take them, his literal children, or those that propagate the ideology of Shaitan, are you going to take them as your awliya, as your protective friends and guardians? The word Allah used, awliya, is derived from the word waliya yala, And this literally means a wali is someone that is next to someone. Tawalla, which is from the same word, someone who is always next to you, guarding you and protecting you, also means to befriend someone. So are you going to take these shaitan, iblis, his progeny literally, or those that promote the values and the evil and the fitna and the evil of shaitan? Are you going to take them as constant company for you? Now this is the third time in this ayah a pronoun in the same ayah is been used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the pronoun ana. In the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said wa idh qulna, when we, that was the first pronoun. The second time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the pronoun was when Allah said about shaitan, فَفَسَقَ عَنْ عَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. The second time when he disobeyed the command of his messenger, his master. The first pronoun was me or we. The second pronoun also referring to Allah as shaitan, his Rabb. And the third time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the pronoun wa is ana. Now this is an amazing indication of the mood that shifts throughout the ayah. The first time that Allah used the pronoun was the royalty. A royal decree to make sajda to Adam was given by us, the royal decree. Then the one who had been distant from Allah is Iblis. So he violated the command of his master, and Allah mentioned himself in the most distant form, that shaitan disobeyed the command of his Rabb. Allah could have said he disobeyed my command, but of his Rabb. So there is a change in the mood by using different pronouns in one ayah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentions himself in the most distant, the pronoun that can be used, the third person. Then Allah comes close to you and me again, subhanallah, and uses it with ana. And it is only used in two ways in the Quran. Either Allah is extremely happy or Allah is extremely angry, and this is the case in this ayah. So now let's go back to the commentary of the word progeny of Iblis and his descendants and followers. The word dhurriya that Allah has used in verse 50 indicates that Iblis, Shaitan, has offspring and a host of descendants and followers. Some mufassirin have said that progeny at this place means accomplices, those that help him, help Iblis to fulfill his objectives. That the shaitan has offspring from his loins is not necessarily meant here. But there is a sahih hadith which Imam Humaydi has reported in his kitab Al-Jami' bin Sahihain on the authority of Sayyidina Salman Al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that according to his narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, do not become like those who are the first to enter the shopping centers, meaning the markets, the malls, the bazaar, or those who are the last to leave it. Because the malls and the markets and the bazaars are place where the shayateen has his eggs and offspring laid around. Now this would indicate that the progeny of shaitan spreads out in that manner through what is laid and hatched by him. After having presented this report, Imam Qurtubi has said that the shaitan has accomplices and armies is something established by conclusive proofs of the Quran and the Hadith. And as far as shaitan having offspring, a sahih hadith I've just quoted the sahih hadith, Allah knows best. But his progeny would also mean his accomplices, those that help him to do what he wishes to do, those that help him to spread the evil, those that help him to continue the evil ideologies that he instills and whispers through the people. So his progeny would mean his accomplice. These would mean from the jinn kind as well as from the mankind. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Every influence that takes one way and takes one away and makes one distant from Allah, from his deen. And the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any influence, any idea, any ideology, any thought, any act that takes one away and makes one distant from Allah and from his deen, and makes one distant from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be it by shaitan, the jinn kind, or shaitan from among the mankind, would be included in this ayah. So when Allah says, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ, Allah says, have you taken Iblis and all of his offspring? Allah in this ayah has taken Iblis and all of his offspring into one single enemy, and used the singular form of the word enemy. ذُرِّي أَوْلِيَا مِن دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ, the word adu as an enemy. Have you taken him besides me as an enemy? So Allah has taken Iblis, Shaitan, and all of his offspring, literally, physically, and all those that are his accomplices in fulfilling his objectives, into one single enemy, and used the singular form of the word. وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ, Allah creates here exclusivity, especially for you people. Those creatures are one big giant enemy to you. Then Allah says, بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا, all the accomplices of shaitan and shaitan as one army, have you taken them as your protectors besides me? Yet you know that he is your enemy, so you have actually preferred shaitan and his progeny and his accomplices over me. Then Allah says, this way by which you have taken someone else as your protector instead of me, بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا, how miserable is this that you have chosen. The word بِئْسَ, the root is بَأْسَ, بَئِيس, بَأْسَ, and has to do with misery. It has to do with discomfort. It has to do with wretchedness. The other word for it's a terrible stuff. It's something terrible. Another word that could be used for that is سَيِّئَ, how disgusting or how terrible. It all comes from the word su, which is a horrible rotting corpse. Now when you say بِئْسَ, then you only add something after it, like what a horrible person, what a horrible student. بِئْسَ الطَّالِب, for example, a bad student. In this ayah, Allah did not say that. Allah just said بِئْسَ بَدَلَ. We were expecting the word after badal would have something, but Allah just says بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلَ, what a terrible exchange. Allah's anger and Allah's disgust with the idea of someone taking the shaitan and his minions and his accomplices as protectors. Allah says, Allah is actually angry and becoming disgusted, and therefore Allah does not even use or makes mention of the person, meaning shaitan and Iblis and his accomplice. He does not even use the word durriya. That he just says, what a bad exchange. He didn't say, what a bad exchange by taking them as your protectors. He just says, what a bad exchange you've made. It has in this ayah the mood of anger and disgust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both the meanings of the words of disgust and misery and the ugly nature of the crime are captured in this ayah. When we had said to the angels, Allah said in the ayah, I'm just going back to the actual original ayah, Maulana. When Allah said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, then they all made the prostration except Iblis. He used to be from the jinn. He violated the command of his Rabb. Are you going to take him and his offspring as guardians, as opposed to myself? And they are clearly enemies, especially to you. What a terrible alternative for the wrongdoers. The use of the word fa in the word fa, fasaqa, because the word was fisq, fasaq. That Allah used the word fa before that, fa fasaqa, implies a cause and effect situation. You did something and the result is this. So as a result of Iblis being from the jinn, he violated the command. Angels do not violate Allah's commandments, but because Iblis is from among the jinn, it was possible for him to do so. This surah deals with the beliefs that the Christians hold. One of the beliefs they hold in regard to Iblis is that he is a fallen angel. Here Allah makes it very clear that he could not have been from among the angels because he disobeyed a command, something which the angels do not do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that he disbelieved and therefore became one of the kafirin. The surah focuses on action. He violated the command of Allah. Again, this is important when looking at Christian beliefs. As they have come to believe, the deeds are secondary. And don't have to work on your deeds, as you are already saved. Having Isa in their heart is more important than their actions. And he is, according to them, their savior, their savior. So the Christians do not take into account the law of Torah. They do not take into account the book of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they believe that they have already been saved. They believe that they can violate Allah's commands. And disregard eating kosher foods for attending the Sabbath, etc. Violating the commands of Allah, which is fisq. So فَفَسَقَ عَنْ عَمْرِ رَبِّهِ is a quality of Iblis. Now there is a connection here with Surah Al-Isra. In the previous surah, in Surah Isra, in a conversation between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quraysh asked him why he does not send them an angel. They say that they would follow an angel. So here Allah responds by saying that even if an angel is not sent down, why is it that they resort to following Shaitan, who was not from the angel? They refuse to follow a human, in this case, the perfect creature, but they chose to follow Shaitan, who is an imperfect creature. So these are some of the wisdoms and the subtleties by which Allah has mentioned this ayah. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. Then why are you taking Shaitan, his accomplices, as your protectors? It's a bad exchange. Rather have your reliance on me, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me be your protector. Let me be your guide. You have taken someone as your protector who is actually your enemy, because he is the one that refused to prostrate to your father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then in the subtlety of this ayah, Allah also downplays and refutes the belief of the Christians that Iblis, Shaitan, was actually the fallen angel by saying that he was from the jinn. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also another subtle gem here is that you had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that why didn't Allah send an angel to us? But someone that was in the environment of the angels who disobeyed Allah, you are taking him as your protectors. You are taking him as your guide. So how foolish is this exchange and this thinking and this ideology of those that have forsaken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a true understanding of his deen. We will conclude here, Maulana, and inshallah next week we will continue with the commentary of this beautiful surah, Surah Kahf, from ayah number 51, inshallah.
Manana, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to Manana next week, Wednesday, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam.
It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.